So I call this refreshing our core belief, our faith. And I'm going to start by a statement of our faith that was written in the year of our Lord 325, finalized in AD 25. It's called the Nicene Creed, or Nicene, N-I-C-E-N-E. And I will read it, and I think as I read it, those of you who don't know what it is, probably recall it. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen.
This was a statement of the core belief in AD 325. That it was an agreed one, and I think it was under Constantinople. So this was like something that all branches of what Jesus had left came to say, okay, this we all agree to. And of course, over time, the one we are probably familiar with, this is like a wider form of faith. I think as time went on, I'll read the one which we probably all are familiar with. It's more concise, but it still basically says the same thing, though it mentions things like Pontius Pilate, which was not in the original statement. That one we are more familiar with, and this one is, I'm going to read it now. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
And this is the creed that is read in most churches these days. But I want to use it as a basis for us to just reignite rekindle our faith, maybe to remember again what we believe in. You know, that's why I say it's not preaching, it's more like a teaching, or just bringing to remembrance things which we should all know already. But maybe we just sometimes you need to be reminded of it. And faith comes from hearing. So everything we hear the word, our faith is strengthened again. The key things I want to zero in from this is, the first one is that it says there is one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. And the abridged version says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But he is the one who created all things, seen and unseen. Because there are many unseen things. He created them all. Hallelujah. In fact, the things which are seen came from things which are not seen. One God. Just remind you today, there's only one God. We believe in one God. Isaiah 45. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 45. Verse 5. Verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no God. There's only one God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And this is what the people, when they were putting the creed, and it's fundamental. It's our belief. And it's what carries our faith. There is one God. One God. Not two gods, one God. Even the mystery of the Trinity holds the Father. There is one God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, one God. Hallelujah. Amen. There is one God. That's our belief. God said, I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west to the east that there is no other besides me. I am the Lord. There is no other. And it goes on in the creed, says, there's only one God, one Lord. It says, through him all things were made. Let's remember today, all things were made through him, by him. Things seen and things unseen. And this is, the Apostle John states this very clearly in the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. Sir, John chapter 1, John chapter 1 in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's old English, but what it means basically is that everything and everything and everything and all things and everything was made by God. And that's part of the creed. That's part of the creed. That's part of our faith. That's part of what we declare. That's part of what unites us as Christians. We believe one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. Glory be to God.
Amen.
I like the way the former fashion of the creed, amplified in a sense, says you believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternal, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him, all things were made. Begotten. Yeah, God doesn't have a son, because in that way the brain is thinking that, okay, yeah. No, but this is one God. And yet, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery, but when you have the impartation of the Holy Spirit, it becomes revealed to you. And that's what people believed there in the 5th century. The 1st century from then, trying to put it into words. That yes, there's only one Lord, one God, and through him all things were made. Through him all things were made. Another part of the creed I want to draw upon is, it goes on and it says, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was made incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the abridged version, the common version, says almost the same thing. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And the scripture speaks about this because it says, according to the scriptures, so I thought it would be nice to look at the scripture that this was in fulfillment of, that Jesus rose, resurrected on the third day. Matthew chapter 12, this is the scripture I'm using, speaks of it. Matthew 12. There might be other scriptures. I think there are other scriptures, but I chose this one. Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40. But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So when it says that, as was spoken to the prophets, we see that Jesus coming, Jesus' death was spoken before and was fulfillment of what God had declared. And it's there in the scripture. Jesus himself said it, look, it's there. Just as happened with Jonah. Jesus rose, resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These are core things for our belief, just so we remember. We remember who we serve, why we are serving, what we can expect, and the reasons why God called us to do this. Jesus is presently seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm a left-handed person, so I've always wondered why everything had to be the right hand. But it doesn't matter. Right hand is not so much left or right, but I think it's that the correct side. There's two sides of things. But Jesus is seated right now with the Father in heaven, and he's on the right side. He's in the correct hand of the Father. Hallelujah. That's part of our belief. Where is Jesus now? He's in heaven. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. Not hiding in one corner. Not in the wrong place. But he's in the right place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's in the right place. And the creed tells us that there's something called, or someone called the Holy Spirit. And it says this Holy Spirit, because that's what the people believe. See, that this is a statement of their belief. So it says, on the third day he rose again in accordance with scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. The Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. That is why I prefer the original version of the creed. The condensed version goes on, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. But I like this one because it actually, it states it in a way that it embraces everyone. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, yet one God. This is God, but this is a Spirit, but it's still one God. It's still the same God. This is a Spirit. In Luke 1, I took this scripture because I think it just demonstrates what I'm trying to, the way I'm thinking about this in terms of the fact that it's our faith, it's our belief. So Luke 1 verse 30. And the angel said to her, said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." In the beginning, Scripture tells us in the Bible, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. In the beginning, there was the Word, there was the Spirit of God. And God said that he spoke the Word, and the Spirit hovering translated that Word into evidence. It became manifest. God spoke the Word, "Let there be light." The Holy Spirit in action, there was light. This same Holy Spirit is what descended upon Mary, and she conceived and gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Immaculate Conception. I read a few years that some part of, I won't be surprised if some 50 years from now the Church of England decides they don't believe in the Immaculate Conception anymore, because already it's been discussed. But this is our belief. Hallelujah. This is our belief. That Jesus is not mere man. He is God who came to fulfill God's purposes. He was made man for our purposes. He is God, but he was made man for our purposes. Another part I take from this is that there will be a resurrection of the dead. There is going to be a resurrection of the dead. It's part of what the Creed talks about. We serve a living God. And no matter what we are going through in the world right now, there is coming a resurrection of the dead, after which there will be judgment. There will be a resurrection of the dead. John 11:25, when Martha ran to see Jesus after his brother Lazarus died, and Jesus came, having been told Lazarus was dead, he came, and Martha came to him and said, "Oh, if you have been here, he would not have died," because Martha understood from close encounter with Jesus that there was nothing that God Jesus could not do. So she was saying, "If you have been here, you know, he would not have died." And Jesus said to her, John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." This is our faith. Hallelujah. This is the creed of what we believe in, that yes, we live, and even though we die, we will yet live. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, he is the resurrection of the dead. In fact, he is the life also. Amen?
Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life. One final thing I want to draw from here is, in closing, is that Jesus is coming to rule again without end. That is also in the creed. Jesus is coming to rule without end. Just read that to us again together, so we see what it says. It says, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And the condensed version says the same thing. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting.
Amen.
Now, this life everlasting is not going to be like this one where all kinds of authorities exist. There's going to be just one authority then. And who's that authority? It's going to be Jesus. And this is stated very clearly by Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, it stated it very clearly, very prophetically, but very clearly, And majority of it has come to pass so much we can believe that the rest of it is going to come to pass. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I just want to read that creed up to you again, just to revisit it in our spirits, to hold on to it as a confession and a declaration of our common belief. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death, and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we have the Pentecostal. So if we are in Pentecostal church, I know there it says that the Catholic and the Apostolic church was all embracing. We came from out of those. So we are still all of that. We can't be more than what we came out of. Hallelujah. And our views, Elim has foundational truths also. We in Elim, we have foundational truths. And if you go to the Elim website, you will see our foundational truths there. There are 10 statements with our foundational truths. I just bring some key ones out of it. So you see, we have the same beliefs. As Elim people, we believe the Bible as originally given to be without error, the fully inspired and infallible Word of God, and the supreme and final authority in all matters of faith and conduct. That's what we as a church really believe. We believe that the Godhead exists co-equally and co-eternally in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that these three are one God, sovereign in creation, providence, and redemption. In Elim, we believe in true and proper deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his virgin birth, in his real and complete humanity, in his sinless life, in his authoritative teaching, in his substitutionary and atoning sacrifice through his blood shed, in his bodily resurrection, in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, in his heavenly intercession, and his second advent to receive his church. That is Elim. We believe basically the same thing. We have just amplified it or defined it into more contemporary language. We believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and the necessity of his work in conviction of sin, repentance, regeneration, and sanctification, and that the believer is also promised the endowment of power as the gift of Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit with signs following. Through this endowment, the believer is empowered for fuller participation in the ministry of the church, its worship, evangelism, and service. We believe in the necessity for salvation of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the sinner is pardoned and accepted as righteous in God's sight. This justification is imputed by the grace of God because of the atoning work of Christ. This justification is received by faith alone and is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit and a holy life. In kneeling, we believe in the personal, physical, and visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ to reign in power and glory. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the final judgment of the world, the eternal conscious bliss of the righteous, and the eternal conscious punishment of the wicked. That is our fundamental beliefs, our core beliefs also in Elim. And you can see they are all included there in the creed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.